every year at this time, we get together with Peter Damon, artistic director of the Waterfront Blues Festival and ace guitar slinger, to find out who's in the festival lineup. He's joining me in the Artichoke Music Cafe. Next week, Lo Steel will be here. And coming up, guitarist Eddie Martinez and also OMN's national editor Art Levine will be talking to us from Washington, D.C. But now, let's turn our attention to the 4th of July and the shores of the Willamette, where tens of thousands of fans gather at the Waterfront Blues Festival. Here's Peter Damon to let you in on who's playing this time around. Peter, we do this every year.
Here we are. Here
year
we go
after
again.
Year after year.
Yes, thank God.
Yeah, I know. It means things are still happening.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So what is the state of the Waterfront Blues Festival this year? How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're good. Yeah. We're trying to inject some more life back into downtown Portland. That's kind of our raison d'etre and mission in a lot of ways. Is like,
yeah,
recreate Portland. Yeah. We can play some small part in that, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, most people just want to hear the music.
Yeah, but they got to come downtown.
That's true. Very true.
And it's such a great space. I mean, the Waterfront Park, I've been to festivals all over the world, and there just aren't a lot of sites that are anywhere near that.
Right.
User-friendly, yeah. and beautiful and kind of uplifting. It's just a great place to be doing it, you know.
It must be inspiring for a lot of guys, for a lot of people to play that.
Every major act that I can think of that has played that main stage gets off the stage and looks at Mount Hood and the river and goes, I'm going to move to Portland.
Yeah.
And I go, no, don't do that.
We've been through that already. None of us are Fred Armisen, okay?
Yeah, right. But yeah, everyone gets kind of blown away by the whole scene.
Yeah. I remember one time I was emceeing, I was introducing Papa Grows Funk.
Oh yeah.
And I set up this thing where this was the French Quarter, and that was the Mississippi River, not the Willamette.
Yeah.
And over here was this number. And John came up to me afterwards and he says, "It's the best introduction we've ever had."
Cool.
Well, okay. Every year, I sit across from you.
Yeah.
And you tell us who's playing.
All right.
Which is, I love that. People really love that because it's the voice of authority.
Is that what I am? The voice of authority?
Yes, it is.
I guess I am. You're right. I am the voice of authority.
You know, it's funny. Lisa Lapine one time said, you know, Tom, you know why people pay attention to you? Because you have the voice of authority. I do?
Yeah.
Okay. If you say so.
Right.
Well, you do, but you're more low-key.
Yeah.
Until you strap on a guitar.
That's right. I'm just a guitar player.
Yeah.
Just a guitar player.
So
what's happening?
It's healthy?
It's healthy.
Yeah? Yeah. That's good.
Yep. Yeah, we made it. I mean, we have had a lot of hurdles and transitions. You know, the food bank left. We had to figure out how to fund the thing.
Yeah.
We figured that out. We had the pandemic to kind of get through.
Yeah.
We jumped through those hurdles. You know, like the city itself, the festival is still coming out of the pandemic, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah. The whole music scene is.
The whole music scene is.
Yeah, still. It's weird.
Yeah, yeah. It's a strange time. And this summer there is so much going on. It's like, boy, Live Nation has just flooded
the Pabst Festival's back.
Pabst, and their big festivals out in Bend and Redmond and Pendleton and Ridgefield. There's just a lot of stuff in the works this summer. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Yeah. And we have some venues have their new venues.
Yeah.
I mean, the Mission is almost a new venue now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I had Jennifer in here last week, Carrizo.
Who books the Mission?
Crystal and the Mission.
Yeah.
To talk about what's going on, you know? I mean, all of a sudden, it's full of music.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Yeah.
I mean, good it's good for the scene. It's not good for, it's not necessarily good for all the musicians, because it's a, could there, I mean, who knew there could be, actually could be a glut of music?
Right.
Who knew?
Right. Right.
Well,
we'll see.
We'll see.
We're figuring that out.
All right. Okay.
So anyway, what's happening at Waterfront? Well,
yeah.
You know, last year, Buddy Guy played his last tour.
Are you sure? You sure about that?
Well, I'll believe it when I see it. But that's officially, that was his last tour.
Right.
And so, you know, to me, that, you know, it was a great way to end last year's festival, but it was also kind of the beginning of a new chapter.
Really?
I think so, because, I mean, what that means is that the pioneer, the last standing pioneer of that genre, is no longer going to be touring.
Yeah.
It means, you know, it's indicative of a genre with whose pioneers have aged out or left us entirely, and the audience too. The audience too is for like classic Chicago blues for hours on end on four stages.
Yeah.
You know, that audience is aging out too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we made a calculated decision to sort of, we've always pushed the genre. We've always pushed the envelope.
Yeah.
But
that's not blues. Yeah, what's that stuff?
Yeah, well, it's all that stuff from New Orleans. That's not blues. And I'm going, well, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah,
really? So we really made a kind of a strategic decision to push harder and move into more more of the periphery, you know. And because, honestly, you know, that's where the younger audiences are, too.
Sure.
I mean, it's in the Americana world, you know. It's the sort of crossover country acts. And and the blues acts that have younger audiences don't even talk about the blues. I mean, Gary Clark doesn't mention the word blues.
Right.
He is just a straight-ahead blues guitar guy from Texas, but he doesn't mention that word, you know, when he is interviewed, for the most part, you know. So we have I'd say we've have one of the most eclectic lineups that we've had. I think it's going to be really interesting. There's lots of little wild cards in the mix that are going to, you know, that have been making me smile. So I sort of have been putting this thing together this year.
Did you travel this year looking for bands? Like you don't do sometimes?
I did not do a lot of travel this year. I did some. I got down to some festivals in Southern California, but I didn't go back to the South. It's on my list. I'm hoping to get back to Lafayette and some of the Cajun country in the fall.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good. So who's the headliner? Is there a headliner?
Ben Harper would be the headliner.
Ah, okay.
And he's he's a good example of a genre pushing blues artist. He draws from country and reggae and hardcore blues. I mean, he's worked with Charlie Musselwhite and Mavis Staples but it's, you know, the genre in his hands is a genre that evolves and keeps moving. He's in a lot of ways, he's like the right next guy to headline the blues festival after Buddy Guy, to me.
Good.
You know.
Good.
So he's playing, we haven't released yet when everyone's playing, so
won't
talk about that, but he'll be on Saturday. I'll tell you.
All right. Right now. Thank you.
He'll be on Saturday. There you have a little inside hint. Maybe this will all be public by the time people hear this.
Well, we hope so.
Anyway. We pushed quite outside, quite hard on one edge of the envelope and have Green Sky Bluegrass playing.
Nice.
Closing one night of the festival.
Uh-huh.
And that'll be a big change.
That's a huge change.
That's a huge change.
Yeah. Remember back in the early 70s when bluegrass was so big?
Yeah.
You know, I'm from the Mid-Atlantic states. I mean, we had the Country Gentlemen and we had the Southern Scene.
Uh-huh.
And that was big. As a matter of fact, I promoted the first annual, the first Baltimore Bluegrass Festival in like 1972.
Well, and my, you know, my late business partner, Clay Fuller,
Clay. Mm-hmm.
He did a bluegrass festival in Vermont before he came out here.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Bluegrass was his thing. He listened to the KBOO Bluegrass program.
Yeah.
On Saturday mornings, religiously.
There was and there was a bluegrass show on a station in D.C. that we could get in Baltimore too that we listened to.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, that's interesting. I wonder if do you think that is there? Well, you booked them pretty high up, so
mm-hmm.
you must have a feeling that maybe that there's an audience waiting that
there's definitely an audience.
Well, I know there's an audience, but I mean a larger audience, like it was back then, because it was huge.
Yeah. Well, it is.
I mean, it's never gone away.
No, it's come back. I mean, that's You know, I mean, the Northwest String Summit was mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. a revival of that.
Mm-hmm.
That festival isn't happening anymore, but
We're sitting here in Artichoke.
Yeah, and Pickathon,
had
that was a big part of its focus early on.
Sure,
you know.
Yeah.
What's interesting to me is how African American musicians have started really surfacing the uh-huh. African roots of uh-huh. that music.
Well, Otis Taylor.
Otis Taylor and Rhiannon Greedon, who's was in town this week, I think.
Uh-huh.
Chocolate Drops.
Yeah.
And the same with country. I mean, there's a lot of activity in the country niche.
Yeah.
That's sort of trying to bring to the surface the fact that there's a lot of African influence in that genre that doesn't get high profile.
Yeah, a lot of people think that the country music only went one way, and that was from black to white.
Yeah,
but that's not true. On my radio show a couple of weeks ago, I played "Sweet Dreams," you know, the Don Gibson song that Patsy Cline had a hit with, and Farron Young. But it was a guy. It was done by a black man on King Records.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was better. I'm sorry. It was a better version than the countrified ones.
Well,
what can I say? You know.
Kingfish Ingram, you know, the young guitar
phenom.
His mother's cousin was Charlie Pride.
Wow.
First cousin.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Huh. Yep. So you know.
Yeah.
It's all part of the the genre, the kind of the silos of genres
mm-hmm.
didn't really exist to the people that were creating this music.
Right.
You know, that's what we have to kind of remember is there was a lot of cross-pollination between the genres.
For a few years, I was friends with Otis Blackwell.
Mm-hmm.
The guy wrote All Shook Up and Don't Be Cruel and Great Balls of Fire and Return to Sender and all that. He was a great guy. And I asked him one day, who did you listen to? Where did this come from? He said he had two favorites. One was Larry Darnell, who was a ballad singer from a soul ballad singer from New Orleans. Okay, mm-hmm. fine. But the other one was Tex Ritter.
Wow.
He loved Tex Ritter. Uh-huh. And then you think about that, and you think about, so he wrote for Elvis, and he wrote for Jerry Lee Lewis, and he's a little black man from Brooklyn, New York, who loved Tex Ritter.
Yeah, wow.
You know.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get back to who's playing.
Let's get back to who's playing. Who all is coming? Well, we have a kind of a really interesting grouping of women artists this mm-hmm. year. Lucinda Williams is coming back.
Oh boy,
she's great. I really dug her set 5 years ago. Or no, it was longer than 5 years.
It was longer. Yeah.
How time flies.
Aliyah Wyndham, our writer, wrote a fabulous piece about that set.
Oh.
Back then.
Cool.
Yeah.
She had a guitar player that I discovered there named Blake Mills, who was like one of the most amazing guitar players. Nashville guy. He's turned into a kind of a major producer there since then. But
so yeah. you think she has a replacement for him coming
she's
in?
She's always had great bands.
Yeah.
She's always had a great band.
Well, who wouldn't want to play with her?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, and Margot Price is coming.
Uh-huh.
They're going to be kind of a tag team closing one of the nights. Uh-huh. Layla McCullough is coming. She was part of the Carolina Chocolate Drops with Leon Giddens. She does her thing now is is African American string band music, but it's also delves into Haitian music.
Mm-hmm.
She's she's got roots that go to Haiti and that whole sort of voodoo music.
Yeah, like what was her name? Cesaria Evora.
Oh yeah,
that place.
That place.
Doesn't matter. It's okay. Anyway.
I almost got you.
Yeah, no, me too.
Also, one of the interesting little collaborative sets I put together involves this Australian singer named Jade McRae, who lives in Bend now, but has been touring with Joe Bonamassa as his vocalist for the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
She lives in Bend. I put her together with this Australian Hammond organ player named Lachi Doley, who's like this wild, he's called the Jimi Hendrix of the Hammond organ in Australia.
I hope he doesn't set it on fire.
Well, although we'll be ready for him if he does. And Kirk Fletcher.
Wow.
The guitar player.
Oh, yeah.
Who lives in Nashville now, is originally from LA. What, just a really great blues, straight ahead blues guitar player. But all three of those musicians have worked with Joe Bonamassa a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They've recorded with him. And anyway, I'm throwing them all together. So that will be kind of an interesting set seen nowhere else.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I've also put together Lo Steele, who's LaRonda's daughter.
Yeah, who's going to be sitting right where you are next week.
Oh. Well, she's happening.
She's happening. Absolutely.
She's got it all. But I saw a Facebook post sometime last year, and she was down in Brazil doing this tour with Igor Prado, who's a guitar player down there that I know, and who played Waterfront about 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Great guitar player. Great straight-ahead blues soul guitar player, but he comes out of the Brazilian groove history and attacks it with just, a whole different kind of energy. It's really interesting.
Sure.
So anyway, I thought this is a good year to bring Igor back to Waterfront. So I put them together. So
that's great.
You'll be able to see Lo Steele with Igor Prado.
Wow.
Totally a new thing for everybody. It'll be really fun. I'm really looking forward to that. She's just so cool. I mean,
Well, it runs in the family.
It does run in the family. They're all amazing.
Yeah.
That whole family is amazing.
Yeah.
And sometimes, as just the guitar guy, I get to play in the back row there. Oh, we did a thing in Pioneer Square around Christmas, and I even got to sing backup.
Whoa!
I got to sing backup on a song for...
I don't remember you singing backup.
Yeah, this is a big secret. This is an old dog learning.
It's like Captain and his ventriloquist dummy.
I decided that it's time for me to, I sang, HMS Pinafore in musicals in high school and stuff like that. The Messiah. When I started playing in the Paul DeLay band, I thought, if I can't sound like Etta James, why would I want to try to, why would I open my mouth? So I haven't really since, you know, for 30 years. But now I'm just a backup singer. Just a little bit.
At the festival?
I don't know if this is going to happen at the festival or not, but this was at, this is on a Christmas repertoire that we're doing. So we'll see. Anyway.
Stay tuned for that one, ladies and gentlemen.
Stay tuned for that one. We'll see.
Yes.
Who all else is kind of interesting?
They're all interesting.
Yeah, they're all interesting. Well, even, you know, on the kind of Cajun Zydeco front, we have the Lost Bayou Ramblers, who are a kind of punkish Cajun band, rock band, kind of a, you know, gnarly psychedelic Cajun band. As well.
Are they? They still have all the same people because they had a...
It's pretty much the same guys. Yeah, I mean, you know, at least three of them I've recognized all this time. So
yeah, I saw them in New Orleans one time. They were great.
Yeah, they're really fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have a women's Cajun group called the Daiquiri Queens.
Nice.
They're really cool. Ah. They're really cool.
Are they from Louisiana?
Yeah. Yeah, they're from Lafayette.
Ah.
Let me see. Bombino's coming back. North African.
It's been quite a while since he was here.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome. I love that piece of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that series that Sarcisi did about the blues.
Yes.
And that one segment where he had Ali Farka Touré and John Lee Hooker discovering each other for the first time.
Wow.
And kind of going, so this is where I come from. This is where what it's all about.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to say that John Lee Hooker didn't totally make sense to me until I heard that North African version, you know, from Ali Farka Touré. Oh my God, that is where it all, that's where this comes from.
Yeah.
That's where that one chord groove, that's what it's about.
Yeah.
That's where it came from.
Yeah.
It all kind of, the light bulb went off. But anyway, Bombino is, you know, part of that North African influence on the blues.
And I noticed that they're the North Mississippi All-Stars with a special guest.
Bobby Rush. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit different Bobby than we've seen in the past. There aren't going to be the big...
No underwear.
No underwear on stage. And none of the big bottoms dancers.
Aw.
I know. Well, you know. It's going to be really a Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf tribute.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it'll be kind of a fun context to see both of those groups, both North Mississippi All-Stars and Bobby Rush.
I remember one time I got down when we had the booth at the festival.
Uh-huh.
Got down there early, and here comes Amanda Gresham walking up with Bobby Rush.
Uh-huh.
So I had my gear. I had my rig set up. So Bobby, can we talk to you for a little bit? Now, the whole time before that, it was nothing but nasty words. In a nice way.
Yeah.
But he, you know, he has colorful language.
Yeah.
As soon as I turned that machine on, it was the King's English.
Yeah.
And nothing.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. It was a great interview.
Yeah.
And as soon as I turned it off, there he goes again.
Yeah. Yeah. He knows how to play to the audience.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. He's a great guy. I've gotten to hang out with him a few times. And
nice.
He's just really a...
Nice.
Really cool guy.
Yeah. So, we got some Blues Festival regulars?
Oh, yeah. You know, Curtis will be back.
Good.
LaRonda and her family band will do a gospel set on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Rice and his PDX Hustle group, cool horn band, they'll be playing. You know, a lot of the locals, I haven't announced most of those acts yet, but we'll roll those out in the next.
Oh, what about the tribute to Linda Hornbuckle and Janice?
There's that. Yeah.
Etta's doing that?
Etta's pulling that together.
You know, she did that at the Seaside Jazz and Blues Festival a month ago.
She,
I was backstage. Well, people are going to be crying.
I know they will be. I know they will.
I mean, she got us off stage and she was in tears.
Yeah.
Of joy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That's going to be a highlight for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Yeah. We want to discover who's new, and what's coming up, and rising stars and all that stuff, but.
They really set the bar.
Yeah.
They set the standard there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I still, how long has it been? Like 10 years, right? This is the 10-year anniversary.
Yeah, yeah.
Mind-boggling.
Yep.
The show goes on.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are these new artists picking up the torch, carrying it forward. Low Steel and Arietta.
And
who, second generation.
And who, And who, whoever isn't ready better get out the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got any marching bands this year?
March 4th is coming band back.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, they're always, they're always fun.
People still love them. People still
love
them.
Well, you know, they were like a street band when they first hired them.
Yeah.
And they were raggedy. And it was kind of like a hippie commune that had horns.
Yes.
You know. And over the last 15 years or so, they have turned into a really great
They made a decision about 10 years ago. It said we're gonna be professionals.
Serious.
They really are.
They are heavy.
I remember one time, you know, I forget, it might have been that show that you mounted after Katrina down at
Blues for Katrina. Yeah.
And I believe they were in it, and they dedicated a tune to me, and it was Mingus.
Huh.
They played Mingus.
Huh.
And they played it well.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
They're great.
Okay, come on. Who else?
Well, let's see.
That you can talk about.
Well, I can talk about a lot of these guys. A young guitar phenom named Taj Ferrant, also from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
You may not have heard of him, but he's got like 5 million YouTube followers, you know.
Yeah.
He's a guitar shredder. He's really good. Another really interesting guitar player to me is Jackie Vinson.
Not Jackie Vernon.
No, Jackie Vinson. It's a woman from Austin. She's a guitar player. Often she just plays with a drummer. And she's got a really, totally her own way of doing this music. It's really it's fresh. It's really fresh.
What is the challenge for a, now she plays a guitar, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the challenge for a guitar player to play with only a drummer?
Well, you lose the bottom. You don't have the bottom end of the bass or the groove of the bass, you know, kind of doubling with the kick drum and just kind of reinforcing that. So it's means the guitar player has to be rhythmically totally on their feet, you know. A lot of guitar players just kind of noodle around over the groove that everybody else is kind of establishing. But if you're just the drummer and the guitar player, and you're the guitar player, you've gotta help hold that groove together.
Wow.
So she's really cool.
That's something to look forward to.
Yeah. Got a young woman slide guitar player named Christina Vane. She was born in Italy, lived in
Colombia. She is half Siciliana.
What's that?
She is one half Siciliana.
Is that what she is?
That's what I am, too.
Oh, all right. She's very cool. I haven't seen her live, but she's... Yeah. She opened a tour for Molly Tuttle in the fall, and I heard through the grapevine, oh, you got to get her for the Blues Festival. She's really cool. So she's going to be there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. We need more Sicilians.
More Sicilians?
More Sicilians.
As long as they're not harmonica players.
I've never heard of a Sicilian harmonica player.
I haven't.
There must be one somewhere.
I'm sure there is. I'm sure there is. Oh, Charlie Hunter.
Oh, Charlie Hunter.
Charlie Hunter.
What is he going to do?
Charlie Hunter is going to do two. Well, he's got three segments he's going to do.
Wow.
And he's just doing this out of the goodness of his heart. I mean,
really,
you know, who is he? Who did I see him touring with in the fall? Kind of jazz singer, Kurt Elling.
Oh yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, so he was touring with Kurt Elling, playing like kind of jazz standards.
Yeah. That's really what Kurt Elling does.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, he's also played with Norah Jones
and
D'Angelo and, you know. He's going to be playing one. He'll do one set with Jubu Smith, who is the guitar player who played in Frankie Beverly and the Maze.
Wow.
He is the guy. He's, you know, kind of a probably late 40s funk guitar player.
Yeah.
And he is... In the funk world, he is the guy that everybody looks up to. Mm-hmm. I mean, even Prince adored this guy, you know. So they are going to do kind of a funky thing. And, you know, Charlie Hunter, for people who haven't seen him, he's this brilliant guitar player who can play the bass, fully realized bass parts while he's playing the regular guitar parts and playing solos over the top of
Does he still play a seven-string guitar?
That's what he usually does.
Yeah.
The one I've seen him.
Yeah.
So he's going to do that set, which is going to be pretty much a funk set, I think.
Huh.
Then he's going to play with this blues singer from Nashville named Candace Ivory, kind of a gospel blues singer, real straight ahead, with a harmonica player, Nick Clark, in the mix. And then the next day, he's going to, on the Crossroads stage, he's going to do like a Blind Blake tribute, where he plays like acoustic Delta blues guitar.
Jeez!
And he's really, I've heard some unreleased tapes of that stuff, and he is really good at that. He is really, really good at that.
Wow.
So,
he's an interesting guy. I mean,
he's a very interesting guy.
One year when he came in for the jazz festival, I did a jazz conversation with him and Dan Balmer.
Yeah,
and I believe it was Chance. I think it was Chance Hayden, but you know, Hunter and Balmer are definitely distinct personalities.
Yeah,
with a lot to say.
Yeah. So that'll be really interesting. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah. So that's over 2 days.
Yeah, that's going to happen over 2 days.
Okay.
Yeah. For. You know, fans of kind of straight ahead blues, Chris O'Leary band is coming. Chris O'Leary was the harp player for Levon Helm's band. He's from back east, I think, New York.
Yeah. I just played a tune by Olabell, the band called Olabell.
Oh, I've seen that name.
The lead singer is Levon Helm's daughter.
Oh.
She's got a great voice.
Now, which daughter? Because he has another daughter.
I don't remember.
That sort of tours around.
Don't remember.
I wonder if she's.
But she is in the band Olabell.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
Next year.
Okay.
Olabell. No, I think Amy Helm. Is that the one
who's
in the band?
I think it's Amy Helm.
Yeah, Amy Helm.
Yeah.
You know, she was married to the saxophonist from Portland who played with Levon Helm. What was the guy's
name?
Really? The young kid who played in Greg Allman's band too.
I don't remember.
Oh, he used to come down to the Candlelight Room all the time. Great sax tenor player. Oh, yeah. Really great tenor player. Why can't I remember his name?
And a great room.
Yeah.
Jeez. There's a hole that's not been fixed.
There's a hole that's not been fixed. I spent 5 years of Sundays and 4 years of Mondays there.
Yep.
Every night.
Yeah.
Once a week for almost a decade.
Playing with Andy Stokes?
No, with Paul
with
for
Paul,
like
yeah.
5 years. Yeah. We were like the first band, really, that kind of kicked that place off. And then with DK.
Ah.
DK and Carlton.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Tough losses. I just picked up DK's RD-700, the electric piano that he played on the main stage at least a dozen times.
Ah.
and delivered it to Ethos yesterday.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's really nice. So, are you guys still involved with Jeremy Wilson Foundation?
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, and one of the cruises, I think it's the one on Sunday, is a benefit for Jeremy Wilson.
I might not be sitting here if it wasn't for the Jeremy Wilson Foundation.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Well, you know, unfortunately, our medical care system is so messed up.
Right.
It comes to, for a lot of the music community, it comes down to GoFundMes now. It's like,
oh yeah,
somebody needs this.
Yep.
Give to their GoFundMe. It's like, why do we have to do this? It's so.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well.
So is anybody, any other Louisiana bands we haven't talked about yet?
The Rumble.
The Rumble. I don't know who the Rumble is.
Monk Boudreau Jr.'s
really
Mardi Gras Indian group.
Wow,
they're really good. They are really good. They're really
do they
fun.
Dress?
Yeah, yeah. They dress up. It'll be fun.
Wow.
Another group from New Orleans, Bon Bon Vivant.
Oh yeah,
they were here a few years ago. And they're kind of like a gypsy street street band that's evolved into a really good, you know, recording and touring act.
Huh.
You know,
they start like setting up on Royal or something. And,
Yeah. But now they're out touring and playing all these festivals.
Well, that's great.
So that'll be
great name, too.
And Reggie will be here.
Reggie!
He'll be coming back.
That's good.
Doing his thing.
One of these days he's going to move back here. One of
he
these
is
days.
Moving back.
I know he is.
That's what I heard.
He's been trying to move back here for months.
Yeah, but he hasn't yet, is
not yet, no.
Okay. Mm-mm.
No, I just saw him a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I saw there's two different sets with him, right?
Yeah, he's doing sort of a set with his sort of a blues set on the kickoff cruise.
Uh-huh.
On let's see, that would be on Wednesday night before the festival opens.
Uh-huh.
And then he's doing a kids show on the Crossroads set. Stage with the woman that he has worked on that project
right
with.
Yeah, we ran a story
a really nice piece about that.
Yeah
So we're getting him back in the mix.
Good.
It's about time.
Yeah, really. I hope he may, I know he's been trying to move back. Something about his, you know, hadn't sold his house down there or something. You know. But I saw him a couple of weeks ago, and he looked great, playing great.
It's That's what I heard. I heard he was really good.
He was ripping it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be good to have him back.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of memories with Reggie. You know?
Oh, boy. Yep. He took me one year during Jazz Fest. I went down. He brought me in to play with Charmaine on the main stage, on the Gentilly stage at Jazz Fest, which was like, you know, such a thrill.
Yeah.
But then we also played at Bullets Sports Bar.
I've been to Bullets.
Well, and this was before Bullets had been discovered
because
of the Charmaine show.
Oh, right.
So I was the only little white guy in the place.
I've been in that exact same position, except I had two other people with me who were white, and we were the only white people in the place.
It's such an interesting.
It was the year after Katrina.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole neighborhood was still destroyed pretty much.
Yeah.
Except Bullets was open.
Bullets was open.
Yeah.
So we were setting up for the gig down there.
Yeah.
And Bullet takes me aside, it points to the top shelf of the bar and says, anything you want up there, you know, we'll take care of you guys. Anything at all, just let us know. And, you know, I haven't had anything to drink in like 30 years. So I said, well, do you have any coffee? And there was this silence. And he turned away and he said, you can come back in the morning for coffee. Come here about 8 o'clock in the morning. We'll have coffee for you. So it was like, faux pas.
Yeah, right.
So we played the first set, took a break, went out on the sidewalk during the break, and there was this big barbecue thing going, and two guys were cooking stuff, and they were just laughing and slapping their their leg, and they said, and then the guy asked for coffee. And I went, wait a minute, they're talking about me. That's me asking for coffee. So I like what had already become part of the mythology of, this guy from Portland, Oregon asked for coffee. He could have had anything.
So when you were there, did Reggie have his old buddies playing in the band?
Yeah.
That's the same thing when I saw them.
Yeah, it was such a cool gig.
Oh, God,
God, it was such a blast.
Yeah. And you played?
Yeah. Oh, I was the guitar player in the gig.
Woo.
I mean, sheesh. Yeah, it was really fun.
If there was ever any pressure, that must have been it.
Well, yes and no. I mean, they're so loose about everything in New Orleans.
I mean,
I don't know if I told you about the story about rehearsing with Charmaine. You know, we got together with Charmaine. We spent like 3 hours going through this whole set list for this series of kind of festival gigs. This is up here in the Northwest.
Yeah.
Took notes, went through all these things, got the sound link, the links to the original so I could Woodshed. And she was really surly the whole time. I don't know what that, she was like hungover or whatever it was. She was just cranky. And,
yeah.
You know. So we get to the gig the next day, and the entire set list just goes out the window. And she starts calling audibles from the line of scrimmage. It's just like one after the other. It's like, wait, what? What key? Where, what, huh? Is there a bridge in this tune? And, you know, afterwards, I went up to Amissi, the keyboard player, and says, what's the deal? We spent hours learning all this material. We only did two of those songs on a 75-minute set. And he said, in New Orleans, we don't rehearse to, like, learn tunes. That's not what rehearsals are about. Rehearsals are about learning who you're playing with and figuring out what they do, and just getting to know who they are so that you can just fly by the seat of the pants when you get there. And I go, this is a different world. This is a different world. I dig it, but it's really different. So that's the way the Bullets thing was. It's just like, okay, B flat, you take it off the top. All right, where are we going? All right, okay, off and running. Yeah.
So, are you announcing who's singing the national anthem this year?
LaRonda and Mark are going to do America the Beautiful. They're going to do Ray's version of that.
Oh, nice.
Change of pace.
That's nice. That's great. That's terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, boy.
So that'll be a nice. Yeah. Andy's coming back.
I was just going to ask him.
Yeah, Andy's coming
back. And then
I
thought, should I ask him? Because if he's not there, if he's not coming, it would be weird. But he is.
He is coming. Yeah, he's going to be playing with Mel Brown and sort of like Mel Brown's 80th birthday gig.
Nice.
At Waterfront.
Nice. Huh, with the organ trio? With the organ
with
band?
With the organ group. And then also Chris Brown is going to, it's going to be a double drummer thing.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So that will be kind of interesting.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not tired of this.
Am I not?
You are not tired of doing this.
No, I mean, it's...
No, you're discovering new things all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to. I mean, that's what it's about.
Well, you don't have to, but you should.
Yeah. I mean...
But some people don't.
If I got to be down there for 4 days, it's got to be compelling to me.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I made that decision years ago. It's like, if I'm going to be stuck down here for 4 days, it better be interesting.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Who do you get to play with this year?
I think at this point, probably just Two Loose Cajun Band.
Uh-huh.
I'm letting some other guitar players fill those wild card spots.
Why?
Because it's good to share that space with other players. And there's a lot of great players out there, young guys, coming up.
Sure.
So, I mean, my attitude in the old days was like, well, if I play the guitar spot on this with this band and I'm not charging anybody, I'm not getting paid for this since I already work here, you know, I'm saving the food bank money if I play. But, you know, it dawned on me later that it was like, well, you know, you're kind of occupying a lot of the guitar spots at the festival. It's time to spread it around.
Well, people do like to hear you play.
Yeah, but, you know.
No, yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Well, anyway, there are a lot of great players out there.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, all right, man. Listen,
right.
Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, you bet.
Thanks for your time, as usual. This will be up shortly. And nice to see you.
Good to see you, too.
And as we like to close these things, I always like to close these things by saying, that's entertainment.